Exodus chapter 20 this morning. And this morning I'm going to be giving out some relationship advice. Perhaps you're struggling in your relationship, and there are usually causes that can be fixed in that. However, this morning we're not going to be looking at earthly relationships per se. However, we are going to link some of those things together. But we're going to be looking at the most important relationship that any person can have. And that is the relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to look at Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be looking at the first four of the Ten Commandments and how these are God's divine relationship rules. How do we keep our relationship with God vibrant? How do we keep it growing? How do we protect against anything or anyone that would invade into that relationship and hurt our relationship with God? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at those areas. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read the first 11 verses in Exodus chapter 20. If you follow along as I read aloud, and we will read this together. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dear Father, I come before you today. I pray that you would be with my voice and that you would calm my throat from coughing as I preach your word today. I pray that you give me the right words to say. I pray that you give us open hearts and open ears, dear Lord. We pray that we would see the need of protecting our relationship with you. For Lord, the devil wishes to bring invaders into our relationship with you to distract us and to break fellowship. I pray that we would be wise to them this morning and that we would see the rules that you have outlined for us, dear Lord, so that we might have a successful, a vibrant, and a loving and growing relationship with you, dear Lord, that is growing day by day, moment by moment. I know we all want that, and I pray that we would seek these protections, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled Divine Relationship Rules, divine relationship rules, talking about our divine relationship with God. And we must all start at the same place in our relationship with God. We must first come to Jesus Christ. We must come to God and realize our sin. We looked at repentance this morning in Sunday school and how important that is, repentance and faith. And in order to have a relationship with God, you must first come to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all, and realize your sin, realize that you are a sinner, and come before him and ask for forgiveness of sin and of cleansing to change your heart and to change your life, and he will do that. He promises that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And at that moment is the beginning of our relationship with him. Just like any relationship, if you're in a marriage relationship especially, there are rules in those relationships. We have a lot of breaking down of the rules of relationships today. You hear a lot about open marriages and things like that. That's never how God intended marriage to be. And God does not intend us to have an open relationship with other gods and other way philosophies and other spiritual beliefs that are false. But number one this morning, we see in Exodus chapter 20 in verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Just like in marriage relationships, I'm going to try not to cough all the way through this. Just like in marriage relationships, a true and growing relationship must be exclusive. So number one, the rule number one is keep your relationship exclusive. Keep your relationship exclusive. When someone is married, when two people stand at a marriage altar and marry one another, they are committing to keep that relationship exclusive. The husband is not going to go off and... Excuse me, man. This sermon is going to be shorter than I thought. No. And by the way, this message is a little long. I might have to flow this over into tonight's message as well. Also, another very important announcement. Almost forgot. The Lord's Supper will be observed tonight in the evening service. I want to make sure you knew that. All right. I think my lung's coming up. All right. Here we go. I'll do my best to get through this. The husband, when he stands before his wife and he stands before the preacher and he stands also standing before God, in holy matrimony, what he's saying, forsaking all others. He is saying, I am forsaking all other women. I am not going to seek after other women. I'm not going to seek after... All right, thank you. Could you refill me on some water, Brother? Thank you. All right. We're going to battle this cough together. All right, thank you. All right. All right, I got another one. Okay, I got a spare one. I'm going to need a spare here. But what he is saying, he is making a commitment and a promise that he is not going to go to other women. And the wife says, forsaking all others, she is making a commitment. She's not going to go find another man. Why? Because that marriage relationship is exclusive. That's why in the New Testament, God describes our relationship with him, especially our relationship with Christ and Christ's relationship with the church as a marriage relationship. It is an exclusive relationship. God makes it very clear that there are to be no other gods in our relationship with him. Now, the devil is the master of trying to ruin relationships. The gods of this world are many, and many and are all of their father, the devil. There is only one true and living God, and that is Jehovah. That is why God is very reasonable in enforcing exclusivity in our relationship with him, because all other gods are false gods. Jehovah God is the one true and living God. There is not Jehovah and Allah. There is not Jehovah and Buddha. There is not Jehovah and the Hindu gods. They are false gods. They are not real gods, and they all point back to their father, the devil. All of these gods are false, and God, our Jehovah God, is telling us that we are to be in an exclusive relationship with him. Now, every relationship must have three things. Must have three things. Thank you, Brother Co. Number one is honesty. Look at Psalm 51 and verse number 6. Psalm 51 and verse number 6. All relationships, especially our relationship with God, must have honesty. Must be honest with one another in a marriage relationship, and you must be honest with God in your relationship with him. In Psalm 51 and verse number 6, if we're to have a growing relationship, now we know God is going to be honest with us. We know God cannot lie. We know God is truth and God is holy. But we as human beings, we can deceive our own heart and deceive ourselves, and we must be honest with God. If we say, well, I love you, Lord, and then you go and you worship a false god. And so, well, we don't do that in America. Maybe we don't bow down and worship gods of stone or worship gods, the voodoo dolls and all of that. But we worship other things that are just as false and just as much gods as those stone statues are. Psalm 51, verse 6, tells us this. Psalm 51, 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God desires truth. And not in the outside words, and just in how we appear to be truthful, but in the inward parts, our heart, in our mind, in the innermost parts of our being, God desires truth and honesty. There are many times we're not honest with ourselves about things, about what our true desires are, what our true thinking is. And if we know what's in our heart and in our mind, we need to be honest with God about that. Don't think that you can worship God and then worship other false gods with your life and with your talents and with your time or whatever it is, and expect God to be okay with that or to not know about it. Remember, God knows and sees all. Second, the second essential of the three things of that every relationship must have is trust. First is honesty. Second is trust. Look back a couple of pages to Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We are to trust completely in the Lord. Not just partially, not just trust, well, I trust him with this part, but I still trust other gods, and we'll get to those in a minute, for this part of my life. And then we have come to a place that we are trusting God for what we want to trust him for, and then we go and trust ourselves or we trust other things to provide other areas of our life. Brother, can you switch to the pulpit mic so everybody doesn't hear me cough with my lapel? Thank you. You don't want to hear me cough, do you? Amplify it? Okay, good. All right, so I'll just try. I'll cough away from my pulpit mic here. I was doing fine in Sunday school, so I don't know what happened. This is the end of the cough when you have you cough and cough and cough, and then all of a sudden it stops. But maybe we'll just stop all of a sudden. Then the last essential ingredient is purity. Look at Job 17, verse 9. Purity. Purity in action. And this goes along with honesty. Having the right motives. What are your motives in coming to God? To get what you want? Or is it because you love him? Do you come to him because you'll think God will do you good? Or do you come to God because you love him expecting nothing in return? There's a very important difference there. If you love someone because of what they can do for you, you don't really love them. But if you come to them and you love them and you care about them and you... I know I promised to stay behind the pulpit. I got a promise. I got to hold my hands here. But that we promise to commit to them and we don't expect anything in return, but we want to give to that person, that is true love. Job 17, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Clean hands, meaning purity. They're going to come stronger and stronger. They're going to have a stronger and stronger relationship with God. But if you don't have pure motives, these are going to keep cropping up in your relationship with God. They're going to keep coming up, and it's going to weaken your relationship. It's going to break fellowship with him. God is very upfront about all these requirements. God is never going to change, and he will always be loyal to us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. It is we as human beings that introduce foreign invaders into our relationship with God. Now, all false gods have something in common. The first is they require sacrifice of the worshiper, always to the detriment of that worshiper. Many false and pagan religions require human sacrifice. That is detriment. A detriment. That's a loss of life. Or maybe they require financial obligations. They require to give extreme amounts of money or this or that in order to achieve or to gain something spiritually. They promise the worshiper what they desire to have, whether that is fame or fortune, protection, eternal life, whatever it is, that whatever that person wants, and it's a fleshly desire most of the time, that they have that desire. Maybe they just desire peace in their heart. They promise to worship for what they desire to have, but then never delivers on what is promised. Eternal life, happiness, blessings, etc. It's not just the devil. The devil makes promises, never keeps any of them. These are false gods, and all of them are toxic to our relationship to God. And God will not tolerate us adding him or adding other gods to our relationship. We are only to worship the one true God. And so are there false gods? Oh, yes. There's the false gods of all we see around us. We see the false god of atheism today. That is a god in and of itself. And, well, I don't believe in any god. I mean, you're believing in something. You're believing in self. Atheism is based in one thing, me. There's no one else. There's nothing else except me. And so many are bowing down to the god of self. I will do what I want, going where I want to go. I don't care what God wants me to do. This is the most prevalent and accepted false god today. The Association of American Atheists is the fastest growing. It is considered a denomination. It is the fastest growing denomination. It's growing faster even than Islam in America right now. And they have clubs in your schools all over the country. They're opening them up all the time and teaching kids how they can be atheists and that how they their belief system is that there's no right and wrong. There's no, it sounds really good. There's no right or wrong. You can do what you want. There is no God. There is no afterlife. You just do whatever you want in this life, and then it's over. Convenient. Get everything. But that's just a lie of the devil. All of these things are lies because the one true God, Jehovah God, sent his son Jesus Christ because he loved us to die for us. God loves us. We shouldn't look at God as one ready to hurl lightning bolts down from heaven on every little mistake that we make. He loves us. If you look at Exodus, you look at Deuteronomy, you look at all these passages of Scripture, you see that God loved Israel. He loved them. He cared about them. He protected them. He provided for them. Because he is the one true and living God. And that is why he expects exclusivity, because all false gods to our detriment. We don't need them. He is our all in all. He is all that we need. We don't need anyone or anything else. Amen? Do we believe that? I think we do. That's why we're here. Amen? No other gods before me. Many people have different gods in their life, the gods of drugs. And you say, well, people don't worship that. When people steal to pay for drugs, that's a god to them. And they're bound. And that god is a cruel god that binds them and locks them up into addiction that Jesus can set them free from. It's a false god because it promises peace. It promises good feelings. It promises all of those things. But it doesn't last. It turns into a prison. Drinking, same thing. People, they say, well, it makes me feel good for a little while, but not for long. It's another prison. It's another false. It doesn't deliver on the promise. We go on and on. Materialism, that's another big god, false god today. If we have it looking bigger and better and newer than everybody else, and I'll be happy. But guess what? Somebody always has something bigger and newer and better and nicer than you. Then someone always has something nicer than them. It's empty. It turns into a prison. You notice all the false religions, they all turn into a spiritual prison, every single one of them. They leave in fear. They don't have any peace. Only the God of all peace, Jehovah God, can give you that peace through Jesus Christ, his Son. Number two. So let's continue on. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Once again. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, we see the instruction given here because, why is it in the water and all of these things? Because all the nations round about Israel worship different things. Some of the nations worship the sun gods. Egypt worshiped Ra, the sun god. And then you see the Amorites worship other gods. The Philistines worship the fish god, which is in the water. Dagon is the fish god. So they said, don't worship any of those false gods. Don't make anything. Well, we want something to remember God by, so we're going to make an image of God. We're going to make an image of the angels. No, God said, don't do it. Because that piece of wood or that piece of stone will become your God instead of remembering who is your God, the God who's in heaven. And that brings us to our second rule. Don't keep in reminders of past relationships. Right? So this is relationship advice here. Number one, you need to keep your relationship exclusive in a marriage. You need to keep it exclusive. Now, don't keep any reminders of past relationships. Now, God also commands that we're not to have anything around us that has to do with these false gods. Now, if you ever kept a framed picture in your house, you know, great big, you know, 10 by 20 picture, framed, a nice gold frame, of your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend from college or high school, that your spouse could see every day. Do you think you'd have a growing and thriving relationship? When you talk about all the good times that you had with them, when you call them on the phone weekly, when you correspond with them on Facebook, do you think that would help your marriage? By the way, let me pause here for a moment. Again, I'm a little soapbox here. No, I'm not. But when, by the way, guys, when that ex-girlfriend or that special friend, they weren't really a girlfriend, they were that special friend, messages you on Facebook, okay, and you're married or engaged or in a relationship, don't say anything. Just hit ignore. Just hit, you know why? It's going to be nothing but trouble. Amen? Nothing. Because guess what? You're not with them anymore. Girls, when that guy that liked you back in college messaged, hey, how's it going? And you're married and he's married. You know what you do? Have your husband respond. She's doing wonderful. With me? No. You know what? We have to keep, we shouldn't do that. You shouldn't open the door. Do you know that Facebook has mentioned over half of divorces in America today? You know why? Either had to do with unfaithfulness or had to do with the old flame getting in contact. By the way, if we have committed to keep our relationship exclusive, we shouldn't be talking to the old girlfriends and the old boyfriends and all of that. Amen? Yeah. But they're my friends. Okay, there was a line crossed in affection there. Whether you were in love or you liked them, there was an attraction there that crossed the line. They're not friends anymore. Not saying you can't be friendly to them, say hi to them, but you shouldn't be privately corresponding with them because it can arouse those feelings again. It's unwise. You need to be careful. Well, I'm bigger and more mature than that. Maybe for a little while you will be, but if that keeps happening, you know, and you're talking to this person and all the time, you know what? We would start making you upset. Why? Because it's a past relationship that has nothing to do with the relationship you have now. The devil wants you to think on all the good times that you had worshiping him and living for him. He brings all the pleasure and all the fun that you had back to your mind. We tend to leave out, or he leaves out, the feelings of guilt and shame afterwards. The devil then leaves us broken and empty and was the one and was not there for us, but the one who was there for us and picked us up again was our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to destroy all of those reminders, to shut the door on the past false gods and burn their altars. And that's why when Hezekiah and other kings, when they came back to revival and they came back to worshiping God, they said, you know what? Let's keep all these false altars around so remember who not to worship. Doesn't work that way, does it? That's not human nature at all. And you know what? I'm going to keep this beer bottle around. I'm trying to quit drinking.
And I'm going to keep this beer bottle around so I remember
what I'm missing. You know what the devil's going to do with that beer bottle? It's going to be the most amazing looking thing to you. It's going to all the good times. Oh, no. What you do is you get rid of it. You throw it out. So I'm not doing that. I'm going away from it. I don't want any reminders of a past relationship that you had with that thing, with that person. Or that God. Maybe it's the altar of entertainment that you have. There were some old things that you used to enjoy in your sinful days, and you keep it around. You know, I'm not supposed to watch that or listen to that or do that. I know I'm not supposed to go to those places. You know, I know I'm not supposed to go to the club and all this stuff. I know I'm not supposed to go and engage in all these things. But you know what? I just want to remember the good times that I had. In sin, there is no good times in sin. It's fun for a little bit. The Bible says it has pledged of sin for a season, but guess what? It leaves you empty and broken and in prison. Spiritual prison. That Jesus died to get you out of. Think about that. Jesus died to save you from that sin. That sin that you willfully committed against Him. Most of the time knowing it was wrong. But you did it anyway. Jesus died to pay for that. So it's only reasonable that we don't make any other gods in our life. We don't keep the altars around. We don't keep the old things around. Maybe you're trying to listen to the right kind of music. Maybe, I remember when I was in college and I had gotten saved and I came home. And I had some of the wrong kind of music there that wasn't godly, wasn't honoring to God. And you know what? What I'll do is I'll pack up all my CDs. This was the day of CDs. You know, it was all MP3 now, you know. And so I took all of that, and I had some MP3s on my computer. I put them all on the CD. So you know what? Because, I mean, they cost money, you know. And so, what I'll do is I'll just put it in my closet. I'll never listen to it again. How long do you think it took me to start listening to it again? About 3 days. Well, there was that one song that wasn't so bad. So you go out and get your CD and you put it in and you put the song that wasn't so bad. But then right after it was a really bad song, which you used to really like listening to. And then you listen to it all again. You know what? Next time I did it, it was about a month later. So you know what? I can get rid of this junk. Because it's just, you know what? It's like in my closet. It was like calling my name. Robert. You know what? You're sitting on your bed and it's calling, Robert, open the closet. You know, isn't that it? You know, when you're trying to go on a diet and that ice cream is in the freezer. No, I'm not going to do it. And it like opens up, you know, the freezer just opened up and the lid opened up and said, eat me. Right? And we know that's not how it happens, but that's how it happens with the false gods when the devil says, oh, look at this here. Here it is. Are you willing to tear down some altars today? Is there something in the way of your relationship with God? Maybe it's the altar of wasting time doing your own thing. Maybe it's the altar of self and making sure you're taken care of, looking out for number one. Remember, God is a jealous God. And He will not allow disloyalty in our relationship with Him. What will happen? Well, He will chasten you. He loves us. But if you love your child, you discipline them. Amen? When they do something wrong, they need to learn that what they did was wrong, so we discipline them, and that's exactly what God does. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. It's not because He hates us, it's because He loves us. Because He wants us to get out of these destructive habits. These false gods will destroy our spiritual life, and will destroy God's blessing, and will destroy God's will for our life. They're not harmless. They are not harmless. We need to be careful that we don't just say, well, and believe the devil's lie. Well, they're just, you know, hold on a second. I need to have my own Kleenex box up here. Man, just a mess. I don't usually do this. Coughing, sneezing. Sickness is wonderful, isn't it? No. But I have my mind, so we got that. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19. Revelation 3:19. As with many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent of what? Of what we are not doing. Or what we have done that is incorrect. We need to go back. Wait a minute. I'm not doing what God wants me to do here. I am not... I'm switching back to the lapel, Brother Rhymes, letting you know. All right. Watch. Maybe I can talk a little softer and I won't cough as much. When we make a decision, when we see something that we're doing wrong, and we see, you know what, I see it now. I see the altars. I see the false images and the false gods that are, I'm not worshiping them, but they're still hanging around, and I'm tempted to worship them. Maybe there's some altars we need to tear down. Just that we need to tear down the high places as they did in the Old Testament. We need to cut down the groves. All remembrance of it wiped off the face of the earth of those false gods. We need to wipe those things out of our life. But in America, in our culture, we don't like doing that. We like to keep the old, comfortable things around because in America, we're very driven by familiarity of surroundings. Things that we surround ourselves with, we like to feel comfortable in that. If we're not in an environment where we're comfortable, that's not familiar to us. And if we got saved and the things that were familiar to us are sinful things, it's hard for us to give those things up. But I promise you, if we put those things away from us and we destroy those altars and we throw out those graven images, whatever they may be, then we will have new familiarity and new surroundings, which will be so blessed with our relationship with God. It'll be a new life and new things. And then you're going to look back on the old things and say, why do I even think of keeping those things around? We need to be careful. I didn't think I was going to get through all four this morning, but I'm going to go through number three for a moment, and then we'll finish up tonight. Exodus chapter 20, in verse... Now, I want to read verse number 4 down through verse number 6 again. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, on the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But then, verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So that's rule number 3, don't badmouth your Lord. Now, we've all been there. We're sitting with a friend or a co-worker. We have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a frappuccino. You know, whatever it is. You're at Starbucks. You know. And they begin talking about their marriage. They begin to tell you all the things they don't like about their spouse. They begin to tell you what they really think about them but would never tell them. You sit there not knowing what to do as they blast their spouse up one side, down the other. They whine, complain, grumble. And while they think that their spouse will never hear of it, there is perhaps nothing so hurtful as this action described here. While you have been talking, you have been taking the name of your spouse in vain. You've attached an evil report of your spouse to their name now. In this passage, it speaks of taking the Lord's name in vain. The same word, vain, is also translated false witness. That means you are presenting a false and empty or vain representation of that person. You know, we should never lie about God and what he has done for us. When we are complaining and grumbling against what God has done or provided, we think that it's not hurting anything because it's just us thinking or talking. Remember that God sees and hears all. He really knows what you think about him. The premise of this command is that we need to keep our hearts right towards God. We should not let anything skew or pollute our view of God. When someone in the world takes the name of the Lord in vain, they are doing it to gain attention. When they say, oh my God, they are saying it for one purpose only, to get your attention. It was originally done to get religious people's attention because the Bible says, take not the name of the Lord God in vain. It's an exclamation point. because they're not calling upon God, but simply hijacking his name to get attention. This is why it's offensive. A name that is precious and holy, they are making common and crude and empty, vain. They're emptying it of meaning. And when, I hope, at least, that when you speak the name of your wife to someone else, they think of your wife's good qualities, her virtue, her kindness, her cooking, right? Think of the good things. Or when ladies, when you open your mouth and you mention your husband's name, and the whole people think of his gentleness and his kindness, he's a good father, he's a good husband, he is a provider for the family. Or because of what you have said, when you open your wife about your husband or your wife, and when someone hears that name, they think of all the things that you said about him. All the negative things, all their faults, how they leave the toilet seat up. How they don't put the cap on the toothpaste. How they are lazy. Or how they burnt dinner last night. And all of those things. And we look and we see all the bad things when someone else hears. Well, they think all the bad things. Well, I know what that guy's really like. Ugh. What you have done and you have presented, well, those things are true. They're dishonoring to your spouse. And when we take the Lord's name in vain, we are dishonoring the name of God. And as a Christian, we should never take God's name in a vain and empty way and dishonor him by what we say. Don't badmouth God. Don't ever badmouth the Lord. There are many things in this life we don't understand. Amen. We don't get everything. But you must remember some things, that God is always good. God is always just. God is always fair. And God loves you. Amen. Amen. We should never lose sight of that. The devil wants us to. The devil wants us to lose sight of all the good that God does for us. Don't badmouth God. No Christian with conviction would even consider using any of the phrases or euphemisms of taking the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because our relationship with God is special and holy. We should defend the name of God. Guess what? If someone is talking trash about my wife, they're going to hear from me about it. Amen? I don't have to be mean and nasty about it, but if someone's spreading a lie about my wife, they're going to hear from me. I said, excuse me, I heard you said this and this about my wife. That is not true. I'd like you to tell your friends, whoever you told, that it's a lie. I want you to go tell my wife and you're sorry. Now, if they don't do it, that's between them and God, but I'm going to go say something about it. Amen? Amen? Okay, husband's like, that's right. And ladies, trust me, if you say something bad about me, you're going to have somebody to deal with. My wife is fearsome when aroused, man. You know, she's nice about it. You ever gotten Mrs. Harvey, man? She's real nice about it, but man, it's over. No. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that. Defending the one you love. There's nothing wrong with that. As a Christian, do we defend the one whom we love, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? When someone takes God's name in vain, do we say, oh, excuse me, please don't say that? Well, why? Well, because he is my God, my Lord, my Savior, my God, and his name is holy, and I would really, please, that offends me that you take his name like that, because it's not an empty name. It's a name full of power. So please don't do that. You can be nice about it. And if they decide to keep on doing it, then you don't have to be in the company of that person. You need to speak up and say some things. It was like today. We're getting gas with the bus. Someone pulled in with playing the loudest rap music. I mean, it was loud. And we're trying to sing Christmas carols on the bus. And so the individual went out and came back in. And I just said, hey, excuse me, could you turn that down? And kind of looked at me, kind of startled. I said anything. They're like, sure. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And they turned it off. I mean, it was like super duper loud. We need to speak up for our Lord. And not be afraid. You know, people don't do what we want them to do. That's fine. But at least we can ask. And if they choose not to, they continue to mock God and blaspheme God, then that will be on their head. But we don't have to be around people like that. We can go the other way. We can go and do other things. So tonight we'll finish up with number four and we'll observe the Lord's Supper tonight. But I want us to think on these things. Have we kept our relationship with God exclusive? That we only worship Him? Of course. What else am I going to worship? Well, hold on. Let's think about what worship is. Worship involves trusting in, sacrificing for, loving. Okay? A lot of people love money in America today. And they trust in money to give them security and to get them what they want. And they sacrifice time and effort to get all the money that they can and put it in their 401k and put it in the stock market. And they trust in it so much, even more so than some people, for their salvation in God. And they trust it. And then whenever the money comes calling, they're there and saying, "Yes, what do you need me to do?" That's worshiping. Nothing wrong with having money. We all need it. Amen. Some of us more than others. But we all need money to live. And there's nothing wrong with that. But living for money and doing all that you can to get money, even being dishonest and stealing and doing all that you can to get as much money as you can in this life, because whoever has the most toys at the end of life wins. That's worshiping. That's the love of money. And it's the root of all evil. Not because money is evil, but because loving money is loving me. You're loving and worshiping it for what it can get you. You can fill in the blank with anything. You can literally worship anything. You know what? People worship a rock because they think it can do something for them. I'm not demeaning people like that, but they do. People in America, they'll worship anything. They'll worship, they think Facebook will make them happy, so they worship that. They think their smartphone will make them happy, so they worship that. They put all their games and they live their life and they spend all day like this. And they have it stuck to their face all day long. They can't get off their screen time. It's 23 hours and 50 minutes a day. They sleep for 20 minutes here and there and they just keep it stuck. People, that's what we call that an addiction. Yeah, because it's their God. What they trust in to make them happy. Anything can become a God. But we need to make sure we keep our relationship exclusive with the one true God. The only God. There are not many paths to God, my friends. There's only one, through Jesus Christ. Are you keeping your relationship with Him exclusive? Have you gotten rid of all the reminders of past relationships, of the relationship with the other false gods? So I've done that, but are you allowing other false gods to be set up in your life? Well, I'm not going to worship it. I'm just going to set it there in case I need it. Oh, so you will worship it when you need it. Well, no, there's no well. You need to get rid of it. Because all God is all you need. We can apply this in a lot of different ways, a lot of different areas of your life. But ask God a question. God, is there another false god in my life? And He'll let you know right away where it is, because He is a jealous God. He'll bring that conviction. He'll bring that clarity to you. He said, you know, you need to get rid of this. God communicates with us. Praise God for that. He speaks to our heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we say, God, I want to make sure our relationship is exclusive. I want to make sure I put all the past reminders out there. And we know what they are. We know what we used to worship. We know what altar we used to bow down at. We know where it's at. But are you willing to throw it all away, forsaking all others and worshiping the one true God?